Your world, your challenges, your faith. When faith within engages the world without, there's power. It's living life from the inside out.
The same holiday traditions that make one person feel all gooey and warm inside might add to the grief of someone else adjusting to loss. We want to be sensitive to our friends' grief, but we don't always know the best way to love them through the holidays. We'll be talking about this today on Family Life's Inside Out. I'm Martha Menikas Foster, and my guests are Marilyn Nutter and April White, authors of the new book, Destination Hope, A Travel Companion When Life Falls Apart. Welcome, Marilyn and April, to Inside Out.
Hi. Well, thank you for having us.
Welcome, welcome. Marilyn, let's start with you. I think a lot of us try to be thoughtful around the holidays. We're thoughtful around our grieving friends. And we know so much of what's central to what we think is important about this time of year, the gatherings and the traditions, that those very same things will bring a lost loved one to mind. But you point out in your book that death's not the only kind of loss. People grieve an unwanted diagnosis, lost jobs, empty arms, chronic pain, the end of a dream. Our lives fall apart in different ways. So, Marilyn, what do you think the very first thing people who are living with loss need to hear or ought to hear or you'd like to tell them as we get close to Thanksgiving and Christmas?
Well, thank you for asking that. I think one of the most important things to do when you are navigating a loss, and you mentioned there are several kinds of losses, it's not just the death of a loved one, is to acknowledge that these holidays will be different. If it's a job loss, for example, finances are going to be affected. If it's the loss of a loved one, there is going to be an empty chair. And a lot of people try and make things exactly like they were before, and they're not. People are not the same, and neither is the holiday. So I think you need to know that it is going to be different. And then think about your expectations. What do you expect these holidays to look like this year? Mm-hmm. We have a grief support for spouses group at my church, and I'm one of the facilitators. And as we talk about approaching the holidays, we encourage our grievers to voice their expectations and their thoughts to their family and friends, because you cannot read someone else's mind. Sometimes people want to carry on a tradition exactly as it was. Maybe they traveled during the holidays. Well, this year they don't want to, but the family thinks, oh, we still need to do it. So They have no idea. So I think acknowledging it and voicing your expectations and your thoughts and the reality that it is going to be different.
Those are wise words. And that way, actually, more communication actually happens, not only because now I know what your expectations are, I can find out more what's going on inside you, as much as you, the grieving person wants to give. Right. Right.
I think the other thing to keep in mind is, though, even though, for instance, let me take the death of a loved one. When my husband died, I have three adult daughters. They grieved very differently than I do and did. And each of them grieves differently. So even though you have the same loss, you're grieving in different ways. And people then have different expectations and they're approaching holidays differently. So that's why I say that acknowledgement and communication are key.
Thank you. Thank you. Let me reset for our listeners. If you're just joining us, you're listening to Inside Out on Family Life. I'm talking today with Marilyn Nutter and April White, authors of the new book, Destination Hope, A Travel Companion When Life Falls Apart. April, each person is different, of course, and I want to acknowledge that, and how we each handle loss is going to be different as well. But in general, how do you suggest that people negotiating loss navigate this coming Thanksgiving and Christmas?
Well, I think the key is to recognize that you're going to have a range of emotions, and that's going to vary. Your emotions are going to range from anger to disappointment and anywhere in between. And it's going to change throughout the day and throughout the season. And there might be things that trigger that. I remember when I was struggling the first year with my illness, that it was around the end of October, I think. And I told my daughter that I just didn't feel like celebrating this year. She was 11. And I honestly just told her, I just want to skip Thanksgiving and Christmas. I don't have the capacity to do this. And I wanted to skip the holidays and go straight to January. And she said to me, no, Mom, in this house, we celebrate Jesus. We are going to celebrate the birth of Christ, and we are going to be thankful. And so she put on her, you know, 11-year-old sassy pants, hands on hips, and told me what to do. And you know what? She was right. You know, did I go above and beyond and do all of the holiday decorating that before? No. But we did put up a tree. Mm-hmm. I did put out some pumpkins and mums for Thanksgiving. So it wasn't the same as what it had been, but I recognized that I was still angry mm-hmm. and disappointed at what was happening. So I think for people struggling, that it's important to recognize and acknowledge your range of emotional responses, and maybe let your other people around you, let your people know that too.
I think one of the things I'm hearing from both of you is that I've been focused on the person who's grieving, right? The person mm-hmm. who has the diagnosis, the person who has lost a husband, but the children of the person who has the diagnosis and the children of the person who's lost the husband are also grieving. Something is lost for them too. So there's this right. constellation of reactions, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And they, like Marilyn said about her daughters, about they grieve differently with the loss of their dad. My children grieved differently with my loss of my health, but we ended up having to move and relocate and change schools. And part of that, we changed churches. So because of that illness, we call these secondary losses in the book, you know, our children had to grieve their own losses as well. And again, I think communication is key, and being open with each other and really sharing how you feel.
If I could just say too, Martha, the secondary losses are so important in going through your grieving process. And many of those secondary losses are unknown to other people. You know, people don't know, for example, that my husband made the coffee every night before bed, and I was able just to pour myself a cup in the morning and have coffee with him. Now, that's a personal thing, and that's a secondary loss for me that no one knows about. And so all over the place, regardless whether it's job loss, it could be relocation, you know, that's a big thing. And that you have the secondary losses of finding a new church or finding new friends and whatever. So it's a very convoluted, grief is very complex.
Yes.
Very complex.
Yes. So facing this complexity, Marilyn, this sounds like a gimme question because this is a Christian book and this is a Christian network, but how does knowing and following Jesus make a difference during those times where everything seems to highlight what you've lost?
That's an excellent question, because I have several friends of mine that I hang out with who are widows, and we are all Christians, and we say the same thing, that if we didn't know the Lord, I don't know where we'd be and what we would do. Because grief doesn't have a timetable. Mm-hmm. There is really no expiration date to it. And that fits in beautifully with the fact that God is always present for us and with us. And his promises, when we look at our book and we talk about hope, we're not saying, oh, it's a wishful thinking kind of hope. Like, I hope it doesn't rain this week because I'm going to the beach. When we talk about hope, we're talking about hope in the person of who God is, mm-hmm. and his character doesn't change, and he keeps his promises. And one of his promises is he will give us grace for every moment. Mm-hmm. Another one is he will strengthen us for every good work we have to do. And I can tell you that when my husband died, God did not give me a 48-hour day. And yet I'm doing all the things in the house that he had to do as well. Mm-hmm. So I rely on God heavily to renew my strength, to give me comfort, to keep his promises, that says, yeah, I'll provide for you. I'm going to give you peace. And it doesn't change my circumstance. I still close the door at night and I'm by myself. Mm-hmm. But I know that God is present and he has designed my life and he is faithful to accompany me. probably my favorite verse in my path that is now going on 10 years is in Lamentations 3, where we read that his compassions never fail, his mercies are new every morning, and his faithfulness never ends. And those compassions, those mercies are personally handcrafted. You know, I don't get yesterday's leftovers. I get fresh ones for today. I don't get April's mercies, and she doesn't get yours. God has designed them for me. And that is really what has been my stability, is that I could rely on the trustworthiness of God to get me through. The loss is real. I still eat my meals by myself. If I go see my kids, I make airline reservations by myself. That doesn't change. That doesn't change. Mm-hmm. But God is present. And he is faithful.
What a grounded encouragement. Not a platitude. It's a change and it's still a loss, but that God is steady and present. April, how would you coach family and friends who want to bring the most comfort possible, the most comfort possible, to a grieving person through the holidays? And in light of what Marilyn has just said, of course, not just the first holiday, right? Not just the first Thanksgiving and the first Christmas after a diagnosis or the loss of someone you love or the loss of a job or a dream.
I think I would probably say two things. First is I would ask your grieving friend or your friend that's going through a hard time, just point blank ask them, you know, I recognize this is going to be a difficult season for you, but I want to know, what can I do and what's going to be most beneficial to you? And let that person answer for themselves. And if they don't have anything to say, then you could say, you know, what about practically? And that's the second point is, you know, hey, would you like some help putting up your Christmas lights, or you know, putting up your Christmas decorations? Mm-hmm. And maybe they have their Christmas tree in the attic and now they don't have a husband or a loved one there to take it down. Mm-hmm. Or maybe they go get a tree and they don't have someone to bring it in. Maybe they're overwhelmed and they just need someone to wrap packages. Mm-hmm. Hey, if you've got your gifts, I'll wrap them for you, or I'll go shopping for you if you have your list. Or, hey, do you have any packages you want to take to the post office? I'll be happy to do that for you. Just all of those daily extra tasks that are surrounding the holidays.
Right.
Just taking that burden off of them, because now they are grieving and they have the extra burden of all these other tasks. And it's just sometimes with having to make so many decisions now, because you've got a loved one or an illness, you almost have like decision paralysis. Like, I can't even make a basic decision because I'm so overwhelmed.
Yeah.
So taking that burden off of them would be really beneficial. The other thing I'd say is holidays, as we know, usually involves parties and being around a lot of people. And when you're going through a hard time, sometimes you don't want to be around people. You don't want people to ask you, hey, how you doing? Because either they really don't care or they're just offering like a simple platitude. And sometimes you just don't want to, you don't want anybody to ask because you don't want to have to dredge it all back up again. You don't want to fake it, but you don't also want to have to, you know, regurgitate everything you're really feeling or feeling like you're lying or just, it's just sticky. So sometimes you want to do things, but you don't necessarily want to be around people.
Can I interrupt for just a second? I just finished reading A Grief Observed by C.S. Lewis. And one of the things he says is that he wishes that he could be around a lot of people, but alone, like both not have an empty house, but not have anybody talk to him. Those are my words, but it sounds a little bit like what you're saying.
Exactly. And so as an outsider wanting to reach out to your friend that's going through a hard time, you know, maybe they're not going to want to do the traditional family Christmas gathering or church gathering or what have you. But maybe you can say, hey, would you like to go drive around and look at Christmas lights? We can go get a hot chocolate and go look at Christmas lights. Would you like to go in our area? There's a fancy hotel and a lot of the local organizations have trees that are on display and anyway. And so would you like to go for us? It's, would you like to go to the Hotel Roanoke and look at the Christmas trees? So it's Christmassy without being Christmassy and without being around a lot of people that are going to ask you a lot of questions.
Mm-hmm. I think what I'm hearing also in that is that the wide open offer of just get a hold of me, call me if you need something is really not helpful because, again, like the decision paralysis, like I'm a grieving person, I'm feeling loss, and you want me to come up with something that I need to ask you to offer me. Whereas you're sounding like very practical, concrete. Would you like to go out for hot chocolate today? Would you like me to come clean your house while you wrap packages? Or would you like me to wrap packages while you rest? And they can say no. But you're helping to narrow down the decision instead of call me whenever you need something.
Absolutely. And I've even went so far as instead of saying, hey, I'm going to the grocery store. Do you need anything? To tell people, text them and say, I'm like, hey, I'm going to the grocery store. What can I get for you? Do you need milk, bread, coffee? And I'll like make a list of like commonly needed items. Mm-hmm. And by doing that, they'll usually say, oh, if you don't mind, a gallon of milk would be great.
Mm-hmm. Right. Very, very practical. Very, very good. Very good. Well, I have really appreciated talking to you. I've appreciated your book. Again, the book's title is Destination Hope. And I'm so happy to have been able to talk to you today. April, Marilyn, thanks for joining me on Inside Out.
Thanks for having us.
My guests have been Marilyn Nutter and April White, authors of the new book, Destination Hope. You can learn more about the authors and the book by going to marilynnutter.com and aprildawnwhite.com. That's marilynnutter.com and aprildawn, D-A-W-N, white.com. I'm Martha Manikas Foster with Inside Out on Family Life.